This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com and Alexa. I am Alan Gervy, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, on this beautiful Mother's Day, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. I just thought of something, Carrie.
What?
I can't manage anyone's life if it's Mother's Day. This is a day for mothers to be managing people's lives because it's their day, not my day. I'm not
or,
a mother.
Or they're taking off.
A mother, but not that kind of mother.
Maybe they're just taking off today. You know, they're like, hey, you handle it.
Oh, okay.
If I was a mom, I'd be like, look, you handle it. You make the breakfast. You clean the rooms. You do everything for me. That's what I would say. I'd say, Alan, you can manage my life today.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So we can manage everyone's life, and you can too, because you're not taking the day off. You're working on Mother's Day.
Yeah. I'm a cat mom. Well, and my boyfriend has a little girl, so I guess I'm a semi, like, I don't know, a little bit of a mom. I've got something
little
going there.
Bit, but you have a wonderful mom.
I do. I have an amazing mom.
Yeah, and last year we had her on the show with my mom. Remember we had the moms on the show?
It was awesome. It was really nice to have that. We've had family shows. I like them.
Yeah, the Mother's Day shows are great shows. We've had so many. And before we wish our mothers, and I have to wish my wife Nancy, who is a mother, a happy Mother's Day, before we get to our mothers, last year we had your mother and my mother. The year before, I think we had Gloria Allred and Lisa Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about them recently in the last couple of weeks because we had Alki David on, who I think is not a big fan of those mothers.
No, and I'm sure they're not a fan of his. I wonder if they'll ever come back on the show. Look, I'm okay that Lisa doesn't come back on, but I actually like Gloria.
What are you talking about? They won't come back on the show. That's a really way to start our Mother's
Day. Oh my gosh,
show.
You're the one who brought it up.
We're giving them a tribute for being mothers and great lawyers. And this show does not discriminate. We have both sides. We're very different from a lot of the news that's out there, Carrie, because we present, if it's a case, we present both lawyers. If it's a political, we present both sides of the political issue. So I think that it's fine, and I think Gloria and Lisa would certainly respect, out of freedom of speech, to have one of their adversaries, Alki David, on the show. So I think I want to go with that we are really doing a service to not only mothers, but everyone out there by presenting both sides.
I agree with that.
And this day, this special day for mothers, is no different. We are going to do a little more of a heartwarming show because we're not going to get really deep into the politics or into the law or into a lot of the disputes and issues that are running rampant with the coronavirus. We're going to look at stories of the first story is a wonderful, wonderful daughter who has done so much for her mother and father. And she is one of the most decorated U.S. figure skaters over the last 15 years. Mirai Nagasu is a bronze medalist in the Olympics in 2018 with the team figure skating event. And she finished fourth in 2010 at the Olympics, the first American female figure skater to land a triple axel at the Olympics in 2018. So that's pretty amazing, the third woman of any country to do so. And she's going to join us after the break and talk a little bit about something that she has done for her parents and her mother on this Mother's Day with their restaurant, Sushi Kiro Suzu, which is in Arcadia, California. What a great story how she has helped her parents keep that restaurant thriving through a program called Power of 10. After Mariah, we will have Roxana Eldon. Roxana Eldon's interesting because she's a former teacher and a public speaker. She's spoken everywhere. She's an author. Her latest book is called Adequate Yearly Progress. We're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about teaching at home. She's a mother herself, but also we have so many mothers today who are now teachers. They never thought they'd be teachers, but because of the homeschooling, the remote learning, they are having to help their children. So we're going to do a service for mothers. This is a gift for mothers that we're going to have Roxana talk about how they can be a better teacher and a mother.
And, you know, I think that is it's a great way to start this off, because so many of my friends who have kids are, I mean, like you said, they never thought they'd be teachers, and it's changed their entire lives. They have so much respect now for the teachers, for that community. I keep getting stories and stories and stories from my friends who have to teach their kids, and they cannot believe how much it takes and what it's, and then to have a full classroom of kids.
You know, it's funny because one of my favorite posts, and we see so many of them on social media, is the one that says to the teacher, "You lied. My kid isn't a model student."
Yeah, yeah.
I think we've all experienced that, those of us who have kids. And, you know, hats off to my wife, Nancy, on Mother's Day for becoming a teacher for Hudson and Harper. It hasn't been easy with the remote learning, and she's putting in a lot of time with the kids. And we appreciate that. So happy Mother's Day to Nancy and all of you others out there who are helping with teaching your kids. Or even if your kids are out of school, I know it's been tough for a lot of people. Sometimes just extra cooking that we haven't cooked so much because we're not going out as much. There are so many things that mothers are doing, and we take our hats off to you. We salute you today on Mother's Day, and I want to, of course, salute my mother, who we were fortunate enough to have on the show a couple of weeks ago when we talked about her being alone, isolated in her home by herself. It's been a long time, and it's tough, and she's got such a positive attitude. Every time I talk to her, and I try and talk to her more and more, and that's because Carrie motivated me to do that with one of her posts. She said, you know, for people who are alone, older people, please call them. Please go out of your way to say hello and to talk to them because they may not have as many people around. And for my mother, she brightens my day every day by being positive, by saying we're going to all get through this. And that even though there are challenges, my mother's always there to be a support. So happy Mother's Day, Mom.
And happy Mother's Day to my beautiful mom, who has always been, you know, the center for our family and has kept everything together. And I just love and adore her and her husband, Bob. So happy Mother's Day to you, Mom.
Yeah, we're going to have to get them back on the show on another day. You know, for today, we are going to talk about these amazing stories of teachers, and our hats off to teachers because they're having challenges in teaching remotely, and Roxana Eldon later in the show will talk about that, and restaurants. I mean, there's no question that restaurants have had such a tough time, and Marai Nagasu, who is multi-talented, we want to talk to her about her Dancing with the Stars experience, because that's really something. She almost made it to the finals. She was as you would expect, as a figure skater, she was a favorite, but got knocked out in the semi. So we'll talk to her about her Dancing with the Stars experience as well. And Carrie, you're looking good today. We're going to take a break now. You're shaking your head. You've got the mask on.
No, I have it around my face so nobody sees it. I look like a chipmunk.
I think it looks great. So can I expose your chipmunkness?
Yeah, like my dermatologist opened up. I cannot tell you how happy I am. I got all my little nifty things done to my face, and I'm very happy.
Was he 6 feet away from you when he did it to your face?
No, they all have this amazing protocol, though. They, you know, you have to come in, you have to wait, you get your mask, you have to wash your hands or use sanitizer. Everybody does it in front of you so they know that it's okay. And then he's a doctor, so he, I'll have my mask off when he's doing stuff to my face. Otherwise, he wouldn't really see where he's going. But they're very cautious, very, very cautious. I just
interestingly,
hope this thing ends.
Carrie, you have developed a new use for masks.
You've never used a mask before,
but now you're using this as an excuse to cover your face because it's swollen.
Well, I have to use a mask when you go shopping and stuff. But yes, if I don't have to put the mask on, you're right. I don't wear this thing. But now that I've had some, you know, stuff done to my face, I can hide it until it gets better. It's perfect.
All right. Well, no one's looking. You can take your mask off. I don't mind seeing it. We're going to talk to Mirai Nagasu after the break. And you're listening to Gary's Law on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. She might be the bomb, but ain't nobody got a mom like mine. Her love's till the end. She's my best friend. Ain't nobody got a mom like mine. She might work.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervie's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervie.
Oh, mama, like the roses, she'd grow them in the yard.
This is a good one.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
But
it's awesome.
Always came
around. Great. It's not my cup of tea in the music, but the words are great. We asked for mother music. We got it. That was beautiful. We are roses. We're celebrating Mother's Day today at Gervie's Law. It's pretty exciting, Carrie, isn't it?
I like the holidays here, you know, at Gervie's Law. We always make it, we try to make it special.
I was being sarcastic.
But it's true. We're having exciting. Our families in on the holidays, having our parents. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, by telephone and Zoom, it's not as much fun as being together.
True.
But, you know, so many people are showing their love for their mothers today, and deservedly so. And our first guest has done so much amazing work for both her parents, including her mother. In fact, one of my favorite things about we're dedicating this to Mother's Day is when Mariah was on Dancing with the Stars, she dedicated her Quick Step to her mom. How many people can dedicate a Quick Step to a mom on Dancing with the Stars? I can't say that I have.
Most people can't.
Mirai Nagasu is a 3x four-continent medalist in figure skating. She's one of the most decorated U.S. figure skaters from the last 15 years, 7-time U.S. national medalist. She was 4th at the Olympics in 2010, which I was at in Vancouver. Loved watching her skate. And the last Olympics, she pulled off something that no American women's figure skater has ever done, a triple axel in South Korea at the Olympics. She's only the third woman from any country to do it. She has a special story to tell us today about her parents' restaurant and about how she's been doing. Mirai Nagasu, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you for having me. I would love to have you introduce me every morning when I wake up. That was like a nice boost of confidence.
You know, I think you have confidence. I got to tell you, your story is amazing, what you have done. And if you read about the restaurant, you read about people who remember Mirai, who was sitting in a corner doing her homework or practicing certain moves on dry land for figure skating, doing everything at the restaurant, helping out with her parents. And look at how you turned into an Olympic champion. How did you do it?
Oh, I wish I had the perfect formula and it could be applied to other Americans as well. But I think that, you know, it was mostly my stubbornness and my absolute love to figure skating that brought me in every day. So I definitely miss going into the skating recently.
But how long ago did you say to yourself, I'm going to compete in the Olympics? This is what I want to do. How old were you?
I wouldn't say that I knew when I was growing up. I guess I wrote in my elementary school yearbook that I wanted to become an Olympic medalist someday, but I didn't have parents who went around saying my child's going to be an Olympian. And so I think that I wanted to go, but I didn't know if I was capable of it. And so, you know, with hard work and luck on my side, I was able to go to two, which I'm really proud of.
The first time you landed a triple axel in practice or whatever, what was that like? Because that's incredible. That's an incredible feat.
So triple axels happen in about 0.6 6-8 seconds, and so you kind of barely register it. It happens so quickly. It's the training that makes it consistent, that makes it even believable that I landed it in the first place. And so I think that the falls meant as much as the land.
And, you know, the interesting thing is Carrie mentions practice, but when you get into the big stage, when you're at the Olympics or at any one of these, you know, the four continent meets or whatever it is, to be able to land a triple axel in front of people when the stress and the pressure is on you is really something. How have you been able to manage stress and manage pressure that has translated into all of the successes that you've had?
I mean, I think that I've worked with a sports psychologist to better my mental training, but I find that being in the moment really helps me. If I think about the future, I'm really done for. And so anything that helps me stay in the music, whether it's music or whether I'm doing a light jog backstage, whatever I can, really helps me stay out of that mental negative state. And, you know, if I were a perfect human being, I would say that I would overcome every time that I feel nervous. But that's why we show up at competition, because you never know how you're going to feel. And that's why I continue to train and continue to try to better myself. But, you know, I have a magical genie up my sleeve. And so I'm not perfect, and I don't know the actual answer, but I do try to stay in the moment.
So let's bring us up to 2020. Now, you were in Boston. Are you still in Boston?
I am, yes.
And that was because you were getting treatment for a hip injury, and then all of this isolation and stay-at-home orders came out. How did that feel? Here are your parents here in Arcadia, California, and you're in Boston getting treatment. Has it been frustrating for you, and how were you able to organize what we're about to talk about with the Power of 10 from Boston?
Yeah, I think that we forget figure skaters were constantly landing on one hip, and so my right hip takes a lot of force and impact, and so, you know, it does have some injuries that I have to take care of. At the same time, I've never had this time opportunity to be my parents' voice and to help my parents' restaurant out. And so I'm glad that I was able to help them plan 10, which we're, I guess, about to talk about.
Yeah, your phone is a little bit spotty. Is there a better place you could move just so we can hear you a little better?
Yeah,
maybe you
sure.
Sao Cao over somewhere.
Sao Cao.
Ooh. Sao Cao is actually my least favorite jump, so I would say that.
Oh, no. I took the wrong move. How about a flying camel? Why don't you do a flying camel over to the other side of the room?
I'm impressed with your skating terminology.
Knowledge.
I am a huge figure skating fan. Have been watching it since I was a little boy, and I credit that to my mother. And my father, but mostly my mother on Mother's Day. She made me a fan of so many things, whether it's figure skating, hockey, growing up in Canada, watched all the hockey games. But we had some great skaters. I go back to Taller Cranston days, which is way back. And so I have always never missed the figure skating, either on the Olympics or the national championships. So I could basically go through your whole routine, even though I can't do it.
Wow, so you're all up to date with how females are doing quads these days.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's amazing how the development and the evolution of, you know, getting to quads, which is, you know, something unbelievable that people probably 20 years ago never thought of.
Yeah, it's happened so quickly. It's hard to think that the triple axel is now almost an outdated jump because quads are so abundant.
Yeah, but let's move on, because not all of our listeners are huge, knowledgeable
ice skating fans.
I'm sorry, I did turn into a skating nerd just now.
So let's talk about Sushi Kyosuzu, and tell us how the restaurant got going and what happened in 2020, a couple months ago, before you came to the restaurant's rescue.
Yeah, so I think my parents came to the U.S. with the American dream in sight, and they opened up a small sushi restaurant, Sushi Kyosuzu in Arcadia, and I was sent away to Japan while I was around five, so that they could get their feet under them. And since then, it's been a staple of my childhood. And, you know, as immigrants, social media is a little bit of a hard, I wouldn't say of all immigrants, but for my parents especially, social media is a foreign concept. And so they haven't really invested in marketing or online resources. And so they really come this far with just the loyalty of their customer base. And, you know, because they didn't have that marketing, I don't think people even knew that they were still open. And you can't eat sushi every single day. And so to-go orders were really low. And my dad was struggling to figure out his way through the PPP loan application.
And, did they have to, they laid off or furloughed some of their employees and only kept one before you came to the rescue?
Yeah, because, you know, my parents weren't really needing, I mean, waitresses weren't really necessary because customers weren't allowed to come into the restaurant. I mean, with good reason, but still it was hard to, it must have been hard to tell the workers that they weren't going to have a job for at least a while.
Yeah. So that's when you come up with this program that was started in Washington, D.C. by Eric Bruner Yang called the Power of 10. And what a program it is to be able to get money to restaurants, to get meals out to nurses and doctors and keep the restaurants going, but at the same time feeding people who need and love the food. And in fact, you know, it's if you're in the front lines, having your parents' restaurant's food is really something nice, something to look forward to.
I think so. And they try to plan out a balanced meal. So they usually have rice, which is great for longstanding energy, and then a protein and a little bit of a vegetable. And so hopefully it alleviates the stress that healthcare workers are going through. You know, the least we can do is provide them with an authentic home-cooked meal.
And we only have a minute before the break, but I just want you, and I know Carrie's nodding her head because we're looking at each other on FaceTime right now, to tell us how quickly you were able to, before we go to the break, able to organize for your parents the Power of 10 program, bringing in some of your friends from high school.
I mean, technology is amazing these days, and everything is at our fingertips. And so to reunite with my community, my high school friends, and for the community to come together to support my parents' restaurant has really meant the world to me.
I love that. And I just have to say that I think everybody needs to come together when this country opens up and really support the small businesses and support the small, you know, restaurants. So we got to get this country back up on its feet again. So I think it's wonderful what you're doing.
Absolutely. Right. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. I was going to say, well, we're not finished with you yet.
You're going to be keeper.
We're not finished because we got a couple more subjects to talk. We just have to take a break. It doesn't mean that you have to skate off into the sunset. Now, the fact is that you were able to talk to your friends to get them to deliver the meals. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so they delivered the meals, and I want to ask you after the break about how it's all worked out and how many meals your family restaurant is providing now. And I also, we're going to talk a little bit more about Dancing with the Stars because that was pretty exciting. And you can't leave without talking about that. So we're going to take a break. Mariah Nagasu is in Boston. She is recuperating from injury, although she's going to be back to her old self, I'm sure, very shortly. I hope everyone is enjoying Mother's Day. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, lifting Murphy's Law to the highest level on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, Mama said.
Mama said, Mama said, Mama
said. Wow.
That's a good one.
This is perfect. Mama said there'll be days like this. We didn't know there were going to be months like this. We thought maybe a day or two of staying home, but wow. That song is so appropriate on Mother's Day. Thank you all the mothers who have such great advice. Mama said there would be days like this, and there are. I hadn't thought of that song for a long time. Boy, David's dating himself playing that.
He's the youngest one in the room. I hate to break it to you.
We're talking to Mirai Nagasu, who is a U.S. figure skater, Olympic bronze medalist, fourth in 2010. And before the break, we were talking about the program Power of 10, where she's been able to keep her parents' restaurant, Sushi Kyosuzu, in Arcadia, California, going with a program that allows for a number of meals to go out to people who need them, like nurses and doctors. As she said before the break, balanced meals. Mariah, tell us about how many meals you believe your parents' restaurant has provided over the last couple weeks.
Oh, well, I think this is their third week, and they've actually been doing half of the load. And so instead of 1,000, they've been doing 500 because they've never done any catering or mass orders like this. So they've done probably like 1,500 meals.
Wow.
Wow. And they were the first in LA with this program?
Yes. And, you know, to put things into perspective, they're probably like a 40-seater restaurant. And so the kitchen is really small. And for them, you know, they represent their brand and their food. And so they said, we can't make anything that's not going to be tasty. So at first, I'm not sure that we can do 100 meals, probably like 150 meals a day, but hopefully soon they'll be able to match what the East Coast restaurants are doing and do 1,000 meals a week as well.
Wow, that's amazing. And is this in lieu of a PPP loan? So you can't have both because obviously they're getting income for this?
I think they can. However, I'm not really sure what the state of my parents' PPP loan application is because, you know, at first banks like Wells Fargo were really having a hard time filtering through how many applications they were getting. And so I was recommended that I suggest to my parents that they try to get loans from a smaller bank that have less applications.
And that's smart advice. I think that's really good advice. For the people who want to donate, it's $10 for each meal. Is that correct? And that can be through Power of 10. Is that how it works?
Yes. The Power of 10 website is powerof10initiative.com. And, you know, we're all in a financial pinch right now. So if you can't give, that's totally okay. But if you can spare the $10 for a meal or $100 or whatever amount you can, it's all greatly appreciated. And we're hoping to expand to other restaurants as well. So please, please, please get more word out about Power of 10.
Power of 10. What a great initiative. And we appreciate you promoting it. And hopefully it will become more widespread to help out restaurants and help out people on the front lines. Before we let you go, Mariah, we can't let you go without talking about your experience on Dancing with the Stars. At the end of it, you said, I will continue to be the diva fighter that I am. Tell us about why you shockingly were ousted when people thought you would be a finalist. You lost in the where you were sent home in the semifinals, and your good friend Adam Rippon went on to the finals. What was that like?
Yeah, it was definitely hard because I'm competitive and I wanted to make it to the finals. But at the same time, you know, I respect the judges' decisions and America's votes. I mean, I didn't have a choice, but I had a really great time on the show. It was really similar to my, you know, the number of hours that we put in a day. It was comparable to my skating, even though I would say that that the training I did for the skating is a little more rigorous, but at the same time, I was trying to do dance moves that I've never tried before. And so to figure that out was really challenging, and I love a good challenge. And so I think that I had a really great time, even though ultimately figure skating is my passion.
That's one of my favorite shows, honestly. Like, if I could do one show right now, they said, what show would you do? I'd pick that one. And I just love it. I love dancing. And I think, I mean, you guys do have an edge. Whenever I watch people who've done gymnastics or skating, you guys have that edge, and you are also competitors, so you work extra hard. But people like me who can dance a little bit, I mean, I can't imagine trying to learn all those dances in a week. I can't. But it seems like so much fun.
But you weren't on the season of athletes, and I think that I didn't really have that edge because, you know, as athletes, everyone had that mental strength to gruel out all of those hours of the day, and we were all so competitive that I think that, you know, at the end of the day, I think it was an even playing field.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like you were competitive against Florence Henderson or any other 75-year-old person.
It's true.
You were up against some tough competition. Your partner, Alan Burstyn, I think worked well with you to get where you needed to be. And sounds like it was a great experience. And I know that was one of your dreams when you were figure skating. You were thinking, well, I'd like to be on Dancing with the Stars. And you did. We have to congratulate you for all you've accomplished. And probably the most important thing right now on Mother's Day is what you've done for your parents' restaurant, Sushi Kirosuzu, in Arcadia, and you're in Boston. I'm sure you miss them. If you wanted to just give out a Mother's Day shout out to your mom, go for it.
Hey, Mom, I miss you guys so much. I can't wait for you to feed me because, you know, even though I'm not there, I'm there in spirit, and there's nothing like a home cooked meal from my parents' restaurant. And so I think I miss that the most. And hopefully I'll be sending some virtual flowers over.
Aww, that's nice. Very sweet.
Hopefully you'll all see each other very soon, or at least soon, hopefully. That's what we're all gearing for, to be together, especially it's hard on Mother's Day. Mariah, thanks so much for being on Gurvy's Law with us today.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. All right, we're going to come back after the message with Roxana Eldon. We're going to learn about teaching from home from a professional. You're listening to Gurvy's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And if it's a funny old world, my or a little boy's wishes come true. Well, I got a few left in my pocket and a special one just for you. It ain't no phone call on Sunday. Flowers are
Welcome back to Gurvy's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
In my daughter's eyes, I am a hero. I am strong and wise.
Wow.
And I know no fear.
Those strong words for mothers.
But the truth is plain to see.
In my cat's eyes, I'm a hero. I mean, you know, I rescued him off the street.
And your mother is a hero to you.
Yes. But yes. Yes, but if I had a little child, I don't know. You know, they might say that.
That's true.
But my cat
little
definitely
Hudson
does.
And Harper, their mother is their hero.
Yes.
And, you know, just, you know, with my mother, of course, my hero, or heroine, I guess.
Yeah.
All of these sentiments are so apropos on Mother's Day. And we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about teaching, because there are so many mothers at home now who never thought they would be teachers, and they're taking time out of their busy days to have to help their children who are learning remotely. And we have an expert with us to talk about that and talk about her new book, a wonderful novel. She is Roxana Eldon, former teacher, and she's a well-known nationwide speaker on educational topics. She's the author of the book, See Me After Class, Advice for Teachers by Teachers, And then her most recent novel that has gotten great reviews, as I just mentioned, Adequate Yearly Progress, which is a story. And it's interesting because it's been described as a funny but insightful look at teachers in the workplace, reminiscent of the TV show The Office, but set in an urban high school. That's from the Washington Post. And she's been called one of the most practical, engaging, and entertaining writers on educational issues around. She's in the spotlight now because teaching is so important, and we're all learning about how difficult it is. Roxana Eldon, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you. What a nice intro. I'm glad to be here.
He gets that every single time. He is the best intros ever.
Our last guest, Mirai, was saying that she's going to listen to my intro every day in the morning to get her motivated.
I'm going to tape it to my bathroom mirror.
There you go.
Sounds perfect. Well, you've got so many reviews that are so nice that you can tape to. I don't know if you have a mirror big enough. Here's one of them. I can't rave enough about this book. I loved it. I hated it. I laughed out loud and quoted passages to other teachers, friends, and teared up at passages detailing the struggles of students. Every teacher should read this. In fact, everyone curious about the struggles of teaching in public school should read this. This is a book, Adequate Yearly Progress, that has become so important because we're all learning so much about how difficult it is to be a teacher. Tell us about how you came to write this book and what it means today in 2020.
Well, I will say what both of my books have in common. One of them is a novel and one of them is a nonfiction book. What they both have in common is I try to get away from that hero teacher narrative where it's kind of one teacher who cares about the kids so much that she doesn't need sleep and she's able to do what no other teacher has done. That's kind of the what I call the myth of the super teacher. And it defines the plot of a lot of movies. But it also, in a way, defines a lot of what teachers hear in training that they're supposed to be able to do. And what teaching really is a job that is meant to be done well, and you're supposed to get better at it over time. And it's meant to be done by human beings. Human beings have bad days. Human beings are better at some things than they are at others. What you really see, great teachers in real life tend to actually just be good teachers, who have great days sometimes, and even those teachers do have bad days also.
You know, there's a lot of moms listening right now who, you know what it's like to be a teacher. They know what it's like, and they've got one, two, you know, three or four kids, right? You have full classrooms of children, and they have, there's so much more respect. What are, if you could give a couple different insights, maybe some suggestions on how to teach from home, something that you know moms may not have thought of.
Sure. What's happening with parents all around the country right now is that they are going through parts of, not all of, as you point out, but parts of the rookie year of teaching. And the rookie year of teaching, many teachers will still tell you, no matter how far they are into their career, is the hardest part of the career of teaching. There's a very steep learning curve. You're completely exhausted because you are trying to build the tracks as you drive the train. You spend the entire year feeling like you're about to crash. And you both hear and personally believe in most cases that any mistake you make is going to affect the kids' futures for all time.
Oh.
And as a teacher, that's the last thing you want to do. But also as a parent, the last thing that you want to do is mess up in a way that's going to affect your kids' futures. So on top of all the other things that parents are dealing with, I mean, they're not, the good thing that they have going for them is that if they're teaching their own kids, they know the kids in the classroom. So it's not that they're, you know, meeting this unknown group of kids for the first time.
Right.
But they have to learn all these skills that are incredibly hard for teachers to learn. Even with the best training, teachers spend the entire first year learning things on the job, like how to get kids to do work on a schedule, how to teach kids how to get your attention without going, miss, 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 miss. you know, how to manage the incredible amount of paperwork involved in educating children. I know a lot of people's printers are running out of ink right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, Roxanna. You say so many important things, and two things that come to mind for me. One is I am now seeing what the teacher does, because as a lot of us parents are doing, we're, besides a Zoom call, if you are having a Zoom class and you hear what the teacher's dealing with, you see some of the kids who are maybe not listening or are shouting out, and how the teacher has to kind of, in a very professional and kind way, because they probably know that there are parents that are hearing how they're teaching. So that's a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. That's number one, the pressure on the teachers that the parents are actually seeing and watching, and then the pressure on the parent. I don't know what to do with my kids. Sometimes they don't want to go on the Zoom call, or sometimes they don't want to do their seat work or their homework. What do you do? Do you get firm with them? I didn't have that rookie year. Or a lot of the moms out there on Mother's Day who are listening and who are frustrated and hopefully getting a day to relax. They didn't have that rookie year training. I don't know how to do it, and I feel like I'm screwing up my kids' life by either yelling at them to do something or saying it doesn't matter, don't do it. Help!
Yeah. I mean, one thing that's important to note is that you are not ruining your kids' life when you make a mistake. And that's something that I learned the hard way as a teacher. I guess that I learned over time as a teacher, because there was a day where I actually felt like I was such a bad teacher that I cried for 2 hours in a Burger King parking lot on my way home from driving home from school, because I was crying so hard I couldn't see the road.
What made you think you were a bad teacher? I want to know what made you cry. You couldn't handle the class?
On that particular day, a bunch of factors went into it. Number one was that it was about 2 months into the school year, which I should point out, parents are right now 2 months into the teaching of their kids. And that is a documented stage of new teaching, which is called the disillusionment phase. It's when teachers are completely exhausted and they've kind of made these rookie mistakes that dig themselves into a little bit of a hole. So maybe they made a rule that they can't quite enforce, or they overpromised how much effort they're going to be putting into certain aspects of the day, and they just can't keep up with it. And then everything's kind of falling apart while the kids are watching. So on this particular day for me, I just could not get the kids to be quiet. It was near the end of October. I was so tired. I had definitely stayed up multiple nights in a row planning lessons until 2 a.m., which is always a bad idea. And my emotional rubber band was just kind of at its breaking point when I would walk in the morning. And there was this one day I could not get the kids to be quiet, and I started giving them homework as punishment. So I started, like, every time someone would talk, I would just say, all right, that's another long division problem. And I got up to like 70 long division problems that I was giving these fourth graders as homework. And I knew that you are never supposed to give homework as a punishment. I had learned in training that makes kids hate learning. So in my head, I'm saying, okay, I'm making my class hate learning, which is exactly the opposite of why I became a teacher in the first place.
Hey, and that sounds like me. I'm making my kids hate learning.
Oh, no.
What do we do? We only have a couple minutes. We need the secret. Come on, Roxanna. Tell us.
Oh, sorry. So what ended up happening was, at the end of the day, I found out that it was Halloween, and I was too tired to even realize that.
Oh, no.
And so then I realized I had done all this on Halloween.
Oh, the kids were all excited.
Cry. Yes, but this is the ending. This was well over a decade ago, and I'm friends with a lot of those kids on Facebook now, and they seem to remember that as a pretty good year.
That's awesome.
Which is amazing to me, but what I think the lesson of that is, if you're showing up every day and doing the best you possibly can do, the kids don't remember the one mistake. They remember that you were in it with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
That
lesson
is.
Because it's made me feel so much better. There may not be a secret of how to teach our kids as mothers and fathers at home, but if we can keep that message in our mind, then maybe it will be a little easier during the tough times. And I know you have said about, you know, in your book, every book is a self-help book if you read it in the right way. And you've just given us an example of how to read the book in the right way, to take from it what can help us, not frustrate us.
Well, thank you. Yes, something is always better than nothing. I think that's always a good thing to keep in mind. If you are teaching something every day, you are, you know, getting them past where they would be if you weren't helping them out.
Right. The book is called Adequate Yearly Progress. You can get it anywhere. It's an amazing novel. People love it. The other book is See Me After Class, Advice for Teachers by Teachers. During this time, this is a time to read these books because it's so important for mothers. And Roxana, we want to wish you a happy Mother's Day because we know that as a mother, you're experiencing just like what other mothers are. And thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, and happy Cat Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you.
That's very sweet.
Thank you so much. Aww.
Well, you know, Carrie,
yeah,
we got one last chance to wish everyone who is celebrating Mother's Day, the kids and the mothers, happy Mother's Day. To Nancy, my wife, happy Mother's Day. Hopefully we can make something of it, even though it's hard with the social distancing. And, of course, for my mother in Toronto by herself, all the best wishes to you. What a wonderful mother and a role model that I've always looked up to.
And to my mom, Linda Kasem, happy Mother's Day. I will see you tomorrow. Very excited. We're going to do a little social distancing while my neighbor sings on her front lawn for the neighborhood. It's going to be wonderful.
I hope they sing some nice Mother's Day songs.
She might. Who knows?
We'll see. Everyone out there, be safe, be healthy, celebrate your mothers. Celebrate your families, celebrate everything you can, because you just don't know what happens in the future, and we're all hoping for the best. Thank you, moms all over the place. We'll be back next week with another episode of Gervie's Law. See you then.
This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.